Hello and welcome to episode 174 of the Big Picture Podcast. I'm your host, Bidemi Ologunde. On this episode, I had a conversation with my friend, Dr. Toby Owotomo, who is a doctor of physical therapy and an athletic trainer, and she works for Oklahoma City Thunder, a professional basketball team in the National Basketball Association in the United States. The conversation started with icebreakers such as the first job on her resume, how her friends and family members would describe her, the most used app on her phone, how she unplugs after a long day, what her favorite holiday is, her first social media platform, and lots more. So we talked about the benefits and disadvantages of social media in terms of connectivity, communication, narcissism, false representations, the fear of missing out, body image issues for young girls, short-term and long-term attention spans, fake news and misinformation, the importance of building and maintaining relationships, and lots more. The conversation wrapped up with Toby sharing some of the rewards and challenges of working in the sports medicine industry and advice for anyone who is interested in a similar career. She mentioned the importance of networking, mentorship, self-confidence, being intentional, and lots more. So details on how to get in touch with Toby are in the show notes. And without further ado, here is my conversation with Dr. Toby Owotomo. So hi everyone, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Big Picture Podcast. Today I have with me Dr. Toby Owotomo.
Hi. Hello everyone.
Could you just introduce yourself and then tell us what you do?
Okay. Hi everyone, and thank you Bidemi for having me on the podcast today. I am, as he said, doctor, but I mean at this point it's still weird, so I just go with Toby Owotomo. I am a young, I guess I would still say, about to be 25, doctor of physical therapy and athletic trainer. I am a New York native, but Toronto has my heart. I lived in Canada for over 15 years. So although I've been back and forth from the US to Canada, I have, you know, that dual citizen, bi-coastal vibes. I love both places. As I mentioned earlier, I'm a doctor of physical therapy and athletic trainer. I currently work for the Oklahoma City Thunder here in quiet Oklahoma, and I am enjoying my new city.
Nice. Thanks for sharing that with us. And for those that don't know, I actually met you through my brother-in-law, and then you visited Tampa and, you know, met you for the first time.
Yes.
And it was that Nigerian hospitality, and everybody was, you know, getting together, friendly. And we've stayed in touch ever since. So
Yeah. Bidemi is I don't even know how to say it, like my boyfriend's cousin's husband.
As
you said, it was such a good time spending, you know, the weekend with his wife Toby and his beautiful, awesome son, and him as well. It was a good time.
Nice. So let's just continue by getting into some icebreakers to then get into the flow of the conversation. So when you were introducing yourself, you currently work with the Oklahoma City Thunder. However, what's the first job on your resume? Something you did and you got paid for.
Okay. So the first job on my resume was an acting job. I was like really big in acting and like dancing and singing as a kid. So I was like a child actor. I was on this show on a kids TV network in Canada called TVO. And it was like this kids science show that I was on called Think Big. I was maybe like 12, 10, something like that. Yeah.
Nice. So I guess that bleeds into some of your current interest, and I see sometimes you post on Instagram some people dancing, and so is that something you would want to maybe pursue further down the line, short term, long term?
No way, Jose. Funny enough, the people I'm always posting on Instagram on my like stories are my buddies. These are like the guys I grew up with. Shout out to Basement Gang. Those are like my really good friends growing up in like middle school and high school and college. Wildly enough, we had followed each other since we were like kids all the way up to now. So they're like Insta famous and TikTok famous. So I'm always proud of them. So I just repost them. But if I'm talking about my hobbies and like the things that I love to do right now, I think my biggest thing that like I've grown into over the years is I love going to restaurants. I love traveling. So I'm like a big, anytime I have like even a day or two, like I want to get out of here. I want to see a new state. I want to see a new country, you know. And I want to go to the best restaurant there. That's like
nice. And I think I also share that hobby and my wife as well. Mm-hmm. We like to try new places. Yeah. If we get an opportunity to travel somewhere, either by flight or by road, we're always looking for nice restaurants. Sometimes we even look for, you know, Guy Fieri.
Diners, drive-ins.
Yeah. So we look for restaurants that have been featured on Guy's show. And then we just decided to go check it out. Last time we were in Columbus, we almost did the same thing, but there was not as much time. So
that's something. I went to a restaurant in Utah when we were up in Utah for Utah Summer League. And apparently it was on Guy Fieri's show. I need to find the name before we finish this, but that was kind of cool. It was a huge line there. I was like, all right.
Nice.
This has some publicity.
Nice. So any other hobbies you want to share with us apart from traveling and looking for nice restaurants?
I guess the only other thing I can possibly think of is just, I'm also like, I love like sports and exercise. Like I've been like not only watching it, but playing it. I was a rugby player growing up. So that was like a huge part of my life. So, you know, in general, I was an athlete. So I played so many sports. So that was fun. So anytime I get a chance to do any of that, I'm totally down. And I'm also like a huge NBA fan, even though I literally work in the NBA. So I watch that all the time. I'm a huge NFL fan, so I'm always watching that. So, yeah, I'm a sports girl. I love soccer too. Shout out Arsenal.
No, shout out Chelsea.
Nah. My one and only.
So, I mean, I like sports as well. I'm a very big NBA fan. I actually listen to 3 or 4 different NBA podcasts. Ooh. That's how much love I have for the NBA.
Wait, what's your NBA podcast of choice?
I blank out on their names, but then Locked On is the one I listen to. I think they do like every 2 days or something thereabouts. There is a bunch of other guys. I think Duncan and something.
I have to know. I'm like an ESPN.
I'm actually gonna look it up. So
yeah, I need to know because I don't know if I've ever heard of these.
Okay. There's Thinking Basketball, and then there is Dunked on Basketball.
Jeez, I guess this is podcast about basketball that I need to enter into.
Yeah,
I'm a YouTube basketball girl, so like I'll watch like, you know, all the shows on ESPN. I'll watch like Undisputed and First Things First all those.
It's Hollinger and Duncan. There is Basketball at the Bar. There is Locked On NBA. It's Round Ball Steel. That's more fantasy basketball.
Okay, are you into fantasy too?
So I'm into fantasy, but just to understand the game.
Okay.
Because when they start breaking down statistics and then talking about rebounds and percentages and all that, because I'm currently studying to become a basketball coach, but starting from like the grassroots high school level, then maybe work my way up. So maybe that would be like the backup to my career. Who knows?
You are into everything, Kijemi.
Yeah.
Podcast, so basketball coach, tech dude, everything.
Yeah. Because I always tell people, I don't want to do 9 to 5 forever. Mm-hmm. So, and then who knows what would be the end goal, the final thing that would serve as the alternative if you don't try so many different things.
You gotta try things. We're in a country where you can do that. So shout out to
you. Exactly. Thank you. So how would your friends and family describe you?
I think so. People who really know me, I think the first thing they'll know is that, like, I'm very outgoing. I love to talk. So, like, my friends, I can talk their ear off, like, just about anything, anywhere, any, you know. They sometimes people call me a little bougie, and not bougie in attitude, but, like, I just like nice things. I think people would know that, like, I have a really kind heart. I love, like, I know it sounds super cliche, but, like, I love helping people. I love being just, like, a light in people's life as much as I possibly can. So I think those are the main things.
Nice. For me, I think people would consider me friendly, introverted. But then once you get to know me, you would think I'm an extrovert. And it always confuses people. Sometimes people meeting me for the first time would think I'm an extrovert. But then depending on maybe how we met or who we met through, that kind of thing. I like helping people. This podcast is one of those examples. Just bringing people on to talk about the experiences. And so far, my guests have talked about how through my podcast, the listeners then connect with them and start a whole new kind of positive relationships and all that stuff. So
I like that.
I like teaching what I know, which is, again, what this podcast is all about. Started from just talking about cybersecurity. Now I'm bringing on guests who don't even do cybersecurity, just to talk about social media, parenting, online security generally, and so on. I'm a family-oriented person. I'm sure you can attest to that as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, and I'd like to try so many different things. Maybe I would retire as a podcast professional and not a cybersecurity professional. Who knows? So, yeah.
That'd be cool. That'd be so cool. Yeah, that is true. You and Toby did have, like, a lot of really good recommendations about what to do in Tampa and stuff like that.
Yep, exactly. And she is a professional. Like I said, she knows all the good spots, whether in Tampa or outside Tampa. So it's just, you know, we balance each other out that way.
I love it. I saw your life in Tampa and I was like, Tampa looks nice. Just, you know, the vibe here is cool.
Chill, easy work.
Love it.
So what's the most used app on your phone?
Most used app? I decided not to go for a work phone, which sometimes I wonder if it was the best idea, because my most used app is definitely the email app. And Outlook. I feel like I'm constantly writing emails and, like, you know, speaking to people within my work. So I would definitely say that. If we talk about something a little bit more personal, I love TikTok. I can be on TikTok all day connecting with people's stories. Like, I'm always telling my boyfriend to, like, I can cry over, like, 8 videos in a row if I see some really sweet stuff on TikTok. Like, I love it.
Nice. For me, it's mostly, I would say, Stitcher, which is the app I used to listen to podcasts. I listen to all kinds of podcasts. Like we were just talking earlier, basketball podcasts, podcasts about fixing cars, car talk, podcasts about psychology, podcasts about cooking. I listen to Food Network Obsessed, which is Food Network's podcast.
Wow.
I listen to, you know, just different interests. Sometimes I just think about something and I'm thinking, okay, how can I learn more about this thing? So I'm going on Google, going on YouTube, and then the next thing, I'm opening my podcast app to search for that topic and see every podcast that has been said about that thing. So whether it's parenting, like the one about cars, I still don't fix my cars, but then I just want to know how to fix cars.
I was going to say, I guess my question to you would be, like, I'm big on YouTube. I feel like that's the first place. Well, Google too, but, like, I feel like that would be the first place I go to listen to more on a specific topic. Like, are you more of someone who's more auto, like, audio type person rather than visual, I guess?
Yep. And because the nature of what I do, I'm constantly reading reports and writing reports as well. Mm. So based on me wanting to do so many things, not like multitask, but when I'm writing report, I can listen to something and the two won't clash. That's just how my brain is.
Okay.
But then if I have to read a report, then I cannot listen to anything. So that I can do more things within maybe like 2 hours of writing that report, then I'm listening to a podcast relating to my work, or maybe when I'm done with work and I'm taking a walk, then I'm listening to a podcast about random things.
Yeah.
Or even just laying down. So I learn better when I hear something.
Yeah.
And YouTube would require my attention. I want to be able to do other things, like walk around, not just focus on the screen.
You would have to look at it.
Yeah, makes sense.
I love it.
So the podcast app is the most used. The next one I would say is Feedly, which I used to just basically look for news. So because of cybersecurity that I do, threat intelligence, I want to learn about so many different sources. So if Russia is doing something to Ukraine, I don't want to just hear from American news sources.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear from Russian journalists, Ukrainian journalists, then American journalists.
Wow.
So that way I can have a balanced view of whatever it is I'm looking at.
Absolutely.
So Feedly does.
Interesting. So it's just like a feed of various.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
International news outlets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You type in the topic and then it just starts giving you different sources. You pick the ones you want to include, remove some. Yeah. And then it does that. I have on any single topic, at least 50 sources.
Wow.
So that way I'm getting as balanced as possible on any perspective I want to. Yeah. If it's parenting, if it's cybersecurity, if it is just anything, literally anything.
That's a huge deal, especially like in this world of like, and I don't even want to get too into it because I know some people are so obsessed, but like, I understand that like different news outlets have their different biases and like, you know,
yeah,
you can see definitely a more global, you know.
Even the American sources, I'm looking at NPR.
Mm.
So that way I'm not looking into, okay, some pharmaceutical company has a bias on this certain topic. No, even like local news sources.
Yeah.
Because that way, you know, it's as unbiased as possible.
They have no agenda.
It's the mom and pop shops that are sponsoring them.
Yeah.
So there is literally no angle to what they are presenting.
Very true. Yeah. Very true.
So to kind of wrap up these icebreakers, how do you relax or unplug at the end of a long day?
Ooh, okay. So at the end of a long day, my favorite thing to do is like, I know you like, regardless of what I did in my day, I love to like take a shower. I love to just get in something nice and cozy and, you know, prepare something nice to eat. Hopefully it's already prepared. That'd be great. I would love to. And then like, just like, it'd be, I love like chilling, watching some YouTube videos I had been stacking up. I typically call Dara, like Dara's my boyfriend, call my mom, you know, just kind of like speak, you know, just recharging with the people in my life type of thing.
Nice.
I love that.
Nice. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way as well. At the end of a long day, I'm taking a walk with my son. If he's sleeping before I go on a walk, I mean, there's even no point going on the walk because then I'll be missing him and then wishing he was
there
on the walk.
You see, it's not just your son that's obsessed with you. I feel like it goes both ways.
Exactly. Anytime we go out and he's in daycare and I'm telling Toby, like, I'm checking the rear view mirror to see if he's in his car seat. And I'm thinking, no, it's actually, but out of habit,
yeah,
I'm like checking, like, so, and then I'm remembering things he would say. I see a fire truck, and then I say, oh, look, fire truck. Because that's what he would say. And my wife just look at me like, really? What's wrong with you?
No way do you still point out the fire trucks when he's not there. That is true dad behavior right there, but I love
school buses, fire trucks, garbage trucks. And I'm like, fire truck. And my wife looks at me like, really?
David, what was that show that he loves to watch with the guy who does all of the cars?
Bleepy. Bleepy, yeah.
that, he goes crazy for. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And yeah, he's just into all these transportation vehicles, fire trucks and helicopters. The other day we were in Orlando and he was the one that got us on a helicopter. We're just walking by on International Drive. Mm-hmm. And he sees a helicopter about to land. He says, "Daddy, Daddy, helicopter." And then I'm looking at Toby saying, what's about to go down? And then she's like, "No." I'm like, "But he wants to go on a helicopter."
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
So it was like two against one. So we won.
Oh, I saw you guys did go on a helicopter.
And then she ended up liking it.
So oh.
The things we make her do.
We'll never forget those things. Like, those are beautiful memories.
Yep. So, what's your favorite holiday and why is it your favorite holiday?
Without a doubt, my favorite holiday is Christmas. Like, I listen to Christmas music 24/7. There's something so warm, so inviting and cozy and relaxing about a holiday where, like, universally you get off, you know, family comes into town, there's gifts, you know, there's food. It's just, you know, obviously it's centered around Christ as well. Like, it's just such a beautiful, warm time. And it'll forever be my favorite holiday.
Nice, nice. For me as well, Christmas is a big one. Even before coming to the US 10 years ago, we would go to my grandpa's house before he passed away, and every family member, extended family member, would all meet at his house. It would kill a ram and then everybody would eat, neighbors would eat, people that we don't know, but just because they live in the neighborhood, take food to their house. And it's like an entire day thing. Go to his house from like 6 a.m., start preparing food, all kinds of food. My dad's friends are coming, my mom's friend, even my own friend, my sister's friends. Everybody is meeting in my grandpa's house just for Christmas. So it's like an entire day thing. And then coming to the U.S., you know, kind of continue that tradition. Last December, we were in Ohio in Dara's dad's house.
Looked like such a good time.
It was, I think, about 25 people.
Yeah, it was crazy.
All together for about 10 days or 2 weeks. And yeah, it's just, you know, exchange gifts, so much food, literally cooking every day, all kinds of food. Every single day. So yeah, it's just, you know, it's a Nigerian thing. You come together, enjoy each other's company, and food is always involved. A few bottles of wine, you know, something light.
I love that. I love that so much. The Nigerian Christmas traditions, when it's done in its fullest capacity, are so beautiful. Whenever I go to Nigeria, it's typically during Christmas as well. And like, it's like 5 a.m. and, you know, we're in the trucks all the way to go to, you know, the villages and stuff like that to go see our grandparents. And yeah, that was a great memory you just jerked there.
So going further with the conversation, let's talk about social media.
Okay.
So when did you first use social media and what was your first social media platform?
So my first social media platform was Facebook. When I was most likely somewhere in maybe middle school, grade 6, 7, 8, you know, I'm trying to think about the age at that time, maybe 11, 12 type. I was young. And yeah, it's Facebook.
Nice, nice. And so as not to indicate my age, my own first social media platform was actually MySpace. It was kind of like the precursor to Facebook. I would go online, talk to my friends from class, and we just saw each other in class. Then we continued the conversation on MySpace. And it wasn't even just to like what Facebook is now. Like, you can literally become friends with anybody, friends in quotes. Back then, you can only add people you knew, and it was even weird and awkward to start adding people you don't know just to make friends.
But how did they know that you knew that person?
So it wasn't MySpace policing the platform. It was just, I would go on, if I see someone in my network, maybe because my friend knows their friend who knows their friend, I wouldn't necessarily talk to them. because I literally don't know them.
Okay.
So the only people I talked to back then were people in my class, people, maybe my neighbor down the street, that kind of thing. So it wasn't necessarily used for connecting, for networking.
Okay.
It was just like an extension of your class, and you carry class gossip to MySpace. Whatever was discussed on MySpace, you continue back in school the next day, back and forth. So nobody was looking to expand your network. There was nobody posting news headlines on MySpace. It was strictly just for talking to your friends, which was the goal Facebook had when Facebook started.
Yeah.
But here we are.
But you know what I'm thinking the more you mention MySpace? I guess my first social media then would actually be MSN. Do you remember MSN?
Yeah.
MSN Messenger. It was like...
just like Yahoo Messenger.
Say that would have been my first if you really want to consider something. And I probably had that in like somewhere in elementary, like grade 3 or 4 or something like that, where you would get home and you just started messaging people, which was like
chat room.
Yeah, through your email is what it was set up with. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that was back in the day. Yahoo Messenger, you go on a chat room, designated chat rooms for all kinds of things, guys that were up to no good, guys looking to get into someone else's computer for whatever reason. And that even allowed some strangers to come talk to you. And I remember the phrase was ASL, age, sex, location.
Wow.
And then if you decide to say the truth or lie to them, nobody could verify anything.
Wow.
But now with social media, you can basically confirm even before you talk to someone. So this guy says he's a doctor, and I'm looking into his medical school, looking into people that went to the same medical school the same year, and I've not even talked to him.
Yeah.
But back then, it was like, oh, whatever you say you do, I believe you.
You believe.
Because there was no way to verify anything. So.
And it's interesting because as much as like it was even more difficult to verify things then, people have also gotten extremely crafty nowadays. So like someone can create an entire faux website discussing this business that they have so that when somebody looks them up, they'll find it. You know what I mean? Yep. They can create a LinkedIn profile of like complete lies. Yep. You know, they can do anything they want. They can put a photo of them that's still not them. You know, it's crazy to see the lengths that people still go to deceive people in this day and age.
And that's actually something I see in my line of work, cyber threat intelligence, and it goes both ways.
Yeah.
So if there's a criminal doing that, we have ways to detect that, okay, this is a fake profile. Even if they're so crafty that some profiles, you know that, okay, this was created last week.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they have 500 connections on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That's because they've been busy adding random people, and those people are adding them back because nowadays nobody checks who is adding who.
Who's who.
But even if they are so crafty, they take time to build out this profile. They open up the profile 10 years ago. They've been adding maybe one person per month so it doesn't come off as suspicious. There are still ways to detect that, okay, this profile, it's a fake profile.
Wow.
So, yeah, because some people do that to catch bad guys, just as bad guys do that to defraud people. So, yeah, it's just, yeah.
And it's scary because I forget, you know, necessarily the numbers on it, but like the number of fake profiles being created every day on social media is like in the like hundreds of thousands, which is...
That's actually the background of the old fights about Twitter and Elon Musk. He's saying there are so many fake profiles on Twitter and he wants to know the exact amount. But Twitter says it's less than 5% of everybody on Twitter that is fake. Elon Musk says, no, it's way more than 5%.
I can imagine that. Because nowadays it's like, thank God for like the fact that I have the Twitter friends that I have, and like I haven't branched out or added just random profiles, or because my feed would be like a whole bunch of spam messages and stuff like that. Even on Instagram, you post something and like randomly 3 random spam accounts will comment like talking about buying something or, you know, follow for follow or something weird like that. And you're just like, how did you even find me.
Yep, definitely. So I guess that would lead into the benefits and disadvantages of social media. So in your opinion, we've talked about one disadvantage. Any other disadvantages you can think of?
So if we talk about disadvantages, this is like a double-edged sword. Can I say like the disadvantage, but then like juxtapose it with the advantage?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Go for it.
So the disadvantage would be the fact that we get so used to this non-personal type of communication, it's not in person. The electronic form of communication, that sometimes the in-person communication level or the way in which it's done suffers. So it's like, oh, there's this person that I see all the time on, social media. I know them, we're good. But you see them in person and it's like, why are you acting weird? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, why are you acting different? Like, you literally just commented on my picture the other day. You know what I mean? Obviously, that's a maturity thing as well. But at the same time, this is what I mean by juxtaposing it. There's a lot of people who you're simply not going to have the chances to see very often in your life. Like, I think about the fact that I have tens and tens of cousins, almost probably, and without exaggeration, most likely around closer to 100 cousins in total. There's no way I'm keeping up with all of their birthdays, with all of the important events in their life. It's impossible. Social media has given me the opportunity to continuously see what's going on in their lives. I'm like, oh, it's my cousin da-da-da's birthday. Let me shoot her a message. You know, you can make people in your life feel happy, and you can, keep connecting with people that you still genuinely love but just can't see often. And it's weird to like send individual personalized messages, not necessarily weird, but just cumbersome and taxing. So it's nice to just be able to be like, oh, I like that picture. Oh, I commented under it. You know, they know that I'm still there and I still love them, you know?
Yeah. I definitely agree with what you just said. And the connecting with so many different people part is a very big thing. The world has become more globalized and communication is literally a fingertip away. But then coming with that is the overwhelming nature of that fingertip away communication.
Yeah.
If I have to start calling every single former classmate I know, I would spend a whole Saturday and a whole Sunday doing that. And that's just former classmates.
And that's just the ones that you have the access to, that you remember their numbers or saved it.
Exactly.
Or
yeah. And then you're not talking about cousins and uncles and aunties. And if you don't call some people, they would have beef with you that you're not calling them. Where it's just easier to. Cousins, for example, I see my cousin in Miami taking a helicopter ride. And then I put a quick like or comment, and then I hype him, and then he says, oh, my cousin, and we hype each other.
Exactly.
And the next time we talk to each other would be the next month or 2 months from now.
Exactly.
Rather than calling that same cousin, and then it's just too much work, and the world is changing, and we should be ready to change with it. Mm-hmm. And I think social media fills that gap. But on the other hand, there's all sorts of narcissism and people trying to outdo each other on social media, saying I'm a better bowler than you are. And it's like a bowling competition.
Yeah, I know. And you see it a lot, obviously, in the athletic population, too. Like, if you watch sports, analyst shows and stuff like that, you see how, like, they can create an entire topic on just LeBron's tweet from last night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
how many exclamation marks?
You know,
is he on good terms with this person?
Exactly. Like, he something can happen during a game that is replied to, like, somebody tweets out maybe an emoji after a specific play, then everybody's now diagnosing that emoji. It could be a problematic at times, but I think if I really put like a finger to it, I still think it's more beneficial to where the world is right now than it is negative. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I agree as well, because social media is not all bad, just as it's not all good.
Exactly.
But then I think it's more good than bad. Definitely the people that created it, and Facebook and Twitter, they had good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
But then just about any other thing in life, if it's not managed properly, if it's allowed to grow unchecked, then it starts to trend towards the negative side. But then, of course, the good intentions still remain.
Yeah,
we're just talking about how it fosters connection. Now, scouting is a big thing on social media.
Yeah.
Previously, athletes that would never have been seen can now be seen because they have, even if it's like a decent profile, not thousands of followers, but the fact that they are on social media would make scouts who know them
look at them,
get in touch with them.
Absolutely.
So it's scouts don't have to travel somewhere before they can see what a guy can do.
Exactly.
They just go on their social media profile.
It's simplified a lot of things. But as simplified as it makes it, it also doesn't ever show the full picture. You know what I mean? And that I think you see that in many different instances. Like, you know, you mentioned sport. Nobody's posting the fact that they actually missed 10 shots in a row.
Yep.
But they pieced together 10 made shots to make it look like they shot them in a row. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Nobody's posting the photo that the angle made them look a little thicker than they'd like.
Right.
You know?
Right.
In fact, they're actually taking that photo, putting it into Photoshop. Or one of the millions of photo editing
filters.
And, you know, nowadays, like, filters aren't as obvious. Editing isn't as obvious. Like, you have no clue. And you'll see that with a lot of the popular celebrities right now. Oh, that one was, it had to be edited. We don't know. Who knows? They hire people for this. People are on payroll to do this, you know? And so people are also creating a lot of false ideas of what it means to be beautiful or what it means to be good at this sport or, you know, so many different things just because what they're seeing is not the whole picture. So as great as it is, there's also a lot of damage that can be done to especially young, vulnerable populations seeing what they're seeing on social media.
Right. And that also led to the report that Facebook itself did last year about how Instagram is hurting young girls and their body image and their attention spans. Now everybody has the attention span of a goldfish, even worse than a goldfish.
Yeah.
Because so many podcasts talk about it, even scientific research saying over time, attention spans of people have reduced. Mm-hmm. And that's, social media plays a big role in that. I have friends who say the amount of time they check social media at work, not working from home, they are in the office.
Yeah.
But then their phone is right next to them on their table. They are literally checking social media while typing an email, or some go to the bathroom, spend longer because they are on social media in the bathroom. And I just think there's nothing good can come out of this because it's not just short-term attention. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about long-term attention. Okay, after 5 years, I should be in a senior manager role. But guess what? All those social media, 1 hour here, 2 hours there, impact the things you need to do to position you in a senior manager role in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's realizing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's difficult for humans to think long-term, to see long-term. Because all we do is, okay, I clock in at 9, I clock out at 5.
Yeah.
I'm on social media scrolling, and before I know it, it's 9 p.m. And I haven't eaten dinner. I have friends who do that. From 5 to 9, they're on social media.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
You're very right. And all I could think about at the same time that you're talking was that it also leads to like needing and desiring instant gratification all the time. I saw I think it was a Vice documentary on YouTube or something like that. But during the pandemic, there was and it's still continuing, but an extreme number of women that had traveled to the Dominican during a pandemic. Okay. And in the United States that got Brazilian butt lifts, the BBLs,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
People see social media and they're like, why aren't I getting the body I want? It's not working after 2 days of trying to eat healthy. And they're like, I'll never get to where I want to get to, because they're still scrolling and they're seeing pictures of all these celebrities. And they're like, I need it now. And as far as they're concerned, those 2 days have been a lifetime and they have been dieting for years. You know what I mean? And then they get surgery. Forget about just body image, but as you mentioned, even in the work world, LinkedIn is a social media. Okay. People are
getting worse now.
And the only thing people are posting is, I just got this job, just did sometimes I look at LinkedIn and I'm like, what is this? People are like, just got this certification, just did this course. I'm getting smarter. I'm getting,
glory be to God.
Glory be to God. I just got this promotion. And it's like, didn't you just get a promotion? Anyways, long story short, everybody's like, how do I look? How do I become successful? But majority of people are really thinking now at this point, how do I seem and appear to be successful in whatever it is they're doing? It's creating a lot of things, but one of the major things that is coming from it, unfortunately, is mental issues and depression, because people are living two different worlds, the world that they put out on social media and the reality of their life.
The reality,
whether that is that they're very successful on social media, and the reality is that although they are successful, they're very unhappy with who they really are deep down inside. Or vice versa. It's endless, but there's a lot of damage social media brings, but I think what it brings out most, sorry, this is a bit of a tangent, but I think what it has been bringing out most is that the world needs a lot of mental help. People need connection in person just as much as they need online, if not more. People's souls need to be nourished, not just their egos, you know? I can go on forever about it, but there's so much more to life than just social media, and unfortunately a lot of people's lives are absorbed by it.
And this, everything you said, is something I actually was talking to my wife about, because nowadays people go to a store, and rather than go to a store to talk to the person and ask questions one-to-one, they would rather just want to send an email or call or go to the store's Instagram and then send a DM. And then I'm thinking, maybe because I'm old school and I'm just the way I am, I would rather talk to you. If I cannot go to your store, I would call you on phone. I wouldn't just depend on sending an email or text message. And that's what I've noticed the world is now turning to gradually. I have friends who don't call on their phone. It's like they might as well remove the phone button on their phone. Because all they do is text, TikTok, Instagram. They have so many apps that they can get in touch with each other. If they text them and they didn't see it, then they send an Instagram DM saying, check your message. And then it's just, there's not, none of this can be replaced. Because I look at my son and how he is in daycare, they actually have circle time and outside play time, all different kinds of interactions, because that's what humans are born to need.
Exactly.
So they are playing in the classroom, and then after a while, they go outside to continue the play outside.
Yeah.
But adults nowadays, especially nowadays, it's more like, okay, text me, not even call me.
Yeah.
And if there is the option of let's not even meet, then behind the screen, everybody is, and you think you know someone until you don't.
And everything that you just said is so true. And honestly, it leads me into like this huge topic. I feel like I can't, you know, discuss social media without discussing this, which is that, you know, being a physical therapist, being in like this fitness world, one thing you recognize really quickly is that a major reason why the United States has the health crisis that it's going through is because of social media. In very large part has to do with social media. And I'm sure you notice this, but children don't even play outside anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the iPad or die, you know, as far as many kids are concerned.
Yep. Wow.
And let's not even get to adults who can decide what they do, you know. Mm. 1 minute they're like, I'm about to go out for my run, or I'm about to go for my walk, depending on what you do, you know, or go to the gym. And then all of a sudden you're caught up in this email or that email, you know, or, you know, you're scrolling. You know what? Let's not forget WhatsApp. Our Nigerian, you know, they love their WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah,
they could be on that forever. They could, you know, you're scrolling
group,
through WhatsApp,
group chat.
Like through YouTube, group chats, Facebook, da, da, da. And next thing you know, it's dark. And tomorrow's another day at work where you're also going to sit down and you're not going to be active. Social media also shows you food really bad.
Definitely.
Okay, and it makes food unbelievably accessible. And typically the most unhealthy foods, you have DoorDash, Uber Eats, everything is in food delivery service. Okay, people don't even walk out.
Every food ad on Instagram has a link to DoorDash, Uber Eats. So what's the other one? With three, four taps, the food you're seeing can be in your front door in like 10, 15 minutes.
In minutes, you know? So it's like, as helpful as that is, like we think about the pandemic, people who had COVID didn't have to leave their homes to get essential items because everything can literally be delivered to you at a pretty relatively low cost at what it would have been to deliver it maybe years and years ago, right?
Yeah.
So it was great for that, you know. There's the elderly population, you know. I've worked with the elderly population. They need help with a lot of things like grocery shopping, you know, with meal prep, and things like this have provided them the outlet. But at the same time, it is really disconnecting us and leading to a lot of health issues.
I have friends that if I don't hear from them when I expect to hear from them, even if they're not posting, then I pick up the phone and call them.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, this same friend would say, oh, if they don't hear from someone else, they just assume they're fine because everybody's busy. Everybody has stuff they're going through.
Yeah.
And someone posting on social media doesn't mean they're okay.
Nope.
Which is a very big misconception people have.
Yeah.
So I have ways of keeping in touch with my friends and way past whatever it is that is going on social media. If you ask me about someone I am close to, I can tell you the breakdown of what's going on with them. And we don't even see each other maybe maximum once a year.
Yeah.
But that keeping in touch is very important to me because I expect them to do the same for me.
Absolutely.
And those types of connections, when we now finally meet one-on-one, it has so much more richer meaning and value because even when we don't see each other, we communicate beyond social media.
Yeah, yeah.
So my friend just had a baby recently and he's telling me about the challenges with the finances and all that stuff. And I'm in a position to do something to help him out, and I do that.
Yeah.
But this same friend, if you go look at his social media profile, you see him visiting all these places, you would think he's doing well.
That they're doing fine, yeah. Woo.
So that's, yeah.
That's,
people think everybody else is fine, but unless you go beyond social media to say, okay, what's going on? And then you realize, oh, they're actually struggling with their weight, they're struggling with some addictions, But then none of this, it's showing up on social media.
Because who posts that, you know?
Exactly.
You hit, honestly, like, such a huge nail. And that is, like, the fact that that human connection can never be replaced. It doesn't matter what social media develops next. You know, next thing you know, I always say, I think the next thing is like holograms or like touch sensation. You know what I mean?
Where virtual reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it will never replace the real thing. I think a huge turning point for me was when I moved to New York from Toronto after, you know, years I had come back to New York, but I was grown, you know, I was starting grad school. And although I had so many friends, you know, I could no longer just like see them so easily or social media started to really feel like exactly what it was, which was just not the real thing.
Yeah.
And it can take a huge toll on your mental health when you sit down and you really assess who are your good friends. Like, who knows what you're going through right now and is supporting you on a weekly basis, bi-weekly basis? You know, who are those people? For me, it's always been a small group. That's just how I like it. But at the same time, I realized that I had to start nurturing relationships that I really cared about, like, and take it so seriously. I have a small group of really close friends that know a lot about what's going on in my life, if not almost everything. And that includes family too, but it does include a few good friends. And it's been the biggest blessing of my life, because when you're really down and you need somebody and you sit down and you realize that there's nobody I can physically pick up the phone to call because I haven't actually spoke to them in years. When that hits, like, that hurts, you know?
Yeah.
I had that happen to me. And I remember just like being like, no, I will never be in a position where I really need to speak to somebody so bad, like a good friend, and realize that there's nobody to call because I haven't been truly nourishing any of my friendships. You know, I hadn't truly been picking up the phone to call my friends, checking on them too, going out of my way to make sure they're okay, you know, or going to see them. So,
right.
In this life, you can't live it alone, and social media will make you start to think you can. And in reality, it's...
Right, because there's hashtag self-made, and I look at it, I'm saying, this is not realistic. Nobody is self-made. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
I don't care what you do for a living. Even the rich people that we know today did not become rich because of their own singular efforts. Mm-hmm. No. There are people behind the scenes that they give credit to, but nobody hears about those people.
Exactly.
So it's like what you just said, not having someone to talk to. I tell my wife sometimes, if I lose my job today, God forbid, I have 5, 6, 7 people I can call that would fast track the process of getting the next job as quickly as possible.
That's beautiful.
That is something I'm constantly developing. Those kind of relationships, I'm constantly developing them. Those are priority for me.
It's huge.
Those kind of relationships don't even exist on social media. Those are people I talk to on phone.
Exactly.
We don't follow social media or whatever it is. Even if they're on social media, we don't post personal. I mean, you've seen my social media. You would think I'm a single guy living in the middle of nowhere. That's how personal my social media is.
Yeah.
And same thing with if your car breaks down on the highway in the middle of nowhere, who can you call that would come help you out within 1-2 hours maximum?
Yeah.
Those kind of relationships need to be nurtured regularly.
Exactly.
If not every day, then every week or every 2 weeks or every month.
Exactly.
People should have people like that on speed dial.
Absolutely.
You lose your job, your car breaks down in the middle of nowhere, you have a health crisis, a medical emergency, before you call 911, you should have 2, 3, 4 people you can call.
Exactly.
That will then give you the help you need in addition to 911.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people can say that. If you happen to go broke today, can you call someone to help you out and it won't be a weird call?
Yeah. And for many people, that means that you have to step out of your comfort zone, because so many people have been in the social media zone for so long.
Bubble.
They've kind of forgotten how to communicate. And I'm saying this all from experience, you know, there were times where I was down in my nest, you know, I was nesting, wasn't talking to anybody, wasn't doing, you know, and you come out of it and you're like, wait, why do I feel weird in regular human interaction?
Yeah.
You know, so I encourage people, if that's what you've been doing, to get out of it. Because another thing, and I'm sure you can admit to this, is your significant other or your family members aren't friends per se. They're friends, but they're not, you need more. You know, you have to nurture
Instagram friends,
other
Facebook
relationships.
Friends.
You know, I'm sure you and Toby are such good friends. Watching you guys mm-hmm. play your video games is just beautiful. But you guys are good friends, right? That's probably your best friend. But you still need to nurture other relationships in your life.
Yeah.
You know, because if you lean too much on one, you'll start to recognize that that one, you expect that one person to be your all. You know what I mean?
Not even healthy.
It's not healthy. And that's the beauty of having various relationships, different people you can go to for expertise in different topics, different people that can provide different levels of insight, you know, and help you come to really good conclusions or decisions in life, you know?
To bring in a sports analogy, I mean, players shouldn't expect their coach to do everything for them. Your coach cannot be your psychologist or psychiatrist. Even if your coach knows CPR, your coach cannot be your physical therapist.
Nope.
Your coach cannot be your someone that makes you better in your shooting, rebounding. Your coach cannot be everything. That's why there's a coaching team.
Yeah.
And there is a management team, and there's a medical team, and there's all kinds of teams for different reasons. So same thing with humans, even kids.
Yeah.
Kids need parents just as much as they need friends. And then that social component of a kid growing up, which is why I'm always emphasizing this boy should have all these things available to him. He should do sports and hang out with his friends, even outside of daycare, and have his parents to talk to, and just to grow as a normal human.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. I'll add on to your sports analogy by saying we have on an NBA roster, at most, sometimes 17, 18. I don't even know the exact number, but staff of an NBA organization.
Wow.
It's in the hundreds. Okay. Because there's no one person that can run an organization. There's no one person that can give you the almighty advice except for God himself. There's no one person or one, you know, or two people that could do it all for you. The more resources, the more insight that you have, sometimes it could be a lot, but the more you can allow yourself to have various sources of quality insight, quality help, and camaraderie, I feel like the more you'll feel I don't even know if the word is not fulfilled, but it's the more you'll feel you have a really nice variety in your life. You know, I feel like when everything is one way or everything is just going in one direction, or you don't feel like you have anyone you can talk to about this, anyone you can talk about spiritual issues, you know, or family issues, or, you know, relationship issues, that's where I feel like stress can really come in.
Yeah, definitely. Stress, burnout, stagnation. There was a podcast I was listening to saying people who don't have a balanced opinion on anything, even if it's, okay, what do I want to eat for dinner? And for some reason, they have a default they go to because that's all they know. That leads to all kinds of things, because just as much as we need a balanced diet, we need a balanced source of information.
Yeah.
I know people whose only source of information is Instagram. They literally use Instagram to search for stuff.
Yeah.
So instead of searching on Google, they just go on Instagram, okay, nearest food places to me. Then they go on Instagram to search for it. Because they know they can find the nearest restaurant on Instagram. And that's just insane. People that get their news only from Twitter, that's not even
helpful. Real. I don't want to say the word, but, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a world of extremes right now.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. We saw it in our last election we went through.
Yeah.
You know, the world is more polarizing than it ever is, than it ever probably has been before. And more than ever, if we want to show love to each other and we want to be living in a world that has any sense of harmony, we have to allow different viewpoints in. And it doesn't mean that you have to believe in this or you have to believe in that. It just means that you have to be open to hearing everybody's truth. You have to be open to hearing the full viewpoint of every story of every person, you know, before you start making judgments or decisions or taking a stance on something. So social media can do that for you, but in many cases, it actually ends up making people become a part of an extreme or one side of a polarized topic.
Right.
So it's benefits and the negative aspects of it are definitely glaring at us every day.
Yep, definitely. I mean, we can go on and on about this. I'm going to have to ask you to come on a different episode and then we'll just, you know, pick up from
there. Continue it, right? Yeah, that'd be a good one. Yeah,
definitely. So to kind of wrap up the episode, what are those rewards and challenges of working in the sports industry?
Ooh. So I guess I'll start off with the challenges, because I feel like the positives are so bright and I'd like to end off there. But the challenge would definitely just be the timing aspect of it. It is an entertainment industry, so entertainment does not end on Friday at 5
p.m. Right.
Entertainment goes through the weekend, and it even happens on holidays as well. So although I would love some time off here and there, you know, it definitely has to come at very specific times, rather than like, you know, weekly intervals that like, you know I have Saturday and Sunday, or, you know, I have Christmas. It may not be that case. But all that to say, the positives are I am literally living my dream. You know, I've had the dream to work in the NBA for longer than I probably can remember. So even though I go to work every day, I am the happiest person alive. I stand there at my job and I'm like, I cannot believe I get paid to do this, because I would most likely do it for free. I love my job so much, and I'm so thankful to God for the opportunity to be where I am so early in my career. It's insane, but I'm eternally grateful to not only God, but obviously the organization that has given me a chance so early in my career.
Nice. That's very moving, actually, because many people don't realize all the hard work that goes into living your dream. It's not something that just came and fell in your laps. It's something you actually put in work, all the sleepless nights and long hours and sleeping in the library.
It's honestly, Bidemi, you're very right. Like, I'm like, oh, how did I get here? And I'm like, oh, girl, you need to think, because I really had tunnel vision since, you know, most likely high school. Like, every single thing I did was to be at this point right now. And I thank God for the foresight. But yeah, it 1,000% did not come overnight.
Right. So in line with that, what advice would you give someone who is interested in a similar career?
What I would tell that person is that anyone can do it. I think that's the first thing I always want to say, because I remember those days where I would think, how in the world am I going to get there? I think the biggest thing is like knowing exactly what you want to do. So if this is what you want, be extremely specific with every single thing that you take on. So whether that be the school you decide to go to, the internships you decide to pursue, the rotations while in school that you decide to pursue, the courses obviously that you're taking, make sure everything aligns. Do your research. You know, over the years, what would be the trend of hiring within like the qualifications and stuff like that, that people are looking for changes, right? I'm sure, you know, in cybersecurity, like there are certain almost like gold standard certifications that you need to have before you're considered proficient in something. It's the same way in like the sports medicine industry. Like there are certain qualifications that they're looking for. So you really want to make sure that you hit those. But on top of that, biggest of them all is like working on yourself and networking. When you can create a really solid group and network of people who have been there before, people who can continuously mentor you and guide you, also speak life into you and help you remember that you'll get there eventually, will change the whole game for you. It did for me. And if somebody's asking how do they build that mentorship or that network, it comes from making sure to reach out any opportunity you can in the most professional way, as well as being in the right places at the right time. Start to think, where would the people that I'm interested in meeting and being mentored by, where will they be? You know, what kind of events can I go to? What kind of conferences can I attend? You know, how can I show my dedication to doing this job? You know what I mean? But yeah, you know, being intentional with your internships and the people that you work under can really go a long way in this.
Right. You just said the word I was going to respond with. That intentional goes a long way. And that's something I can also very much advise, because for me as well, everything I've done up to this point is basically everything prepared me to be in the position I am right now. Yeah. All those courses I took about how to write, all the courses I took about how to present.
Yeah.
Because it's not just knowing all the technical stuff. You have to be able to communicate whatever cyber thing you are saying to people in a way they would understand. Exactly. Otherwise, you might as well be speaking Greek or Latin or whatever other language they don't
understand. Or you wouldn't understand them.
Exactly. Yeah. So that intentionality is underrated. Mm-hmm. No one is paying attention to you. They only, if I can just get this certification. Okay, now you have the certification. Mm-hmm. What's the next step?
Exactly.
All those soft skills that people don't pay attention to. Mm-hmm. The ability to interact one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Like we're just talking about.
Yeah.
People think an email is the end all be all.
Exactly. No,
you have to be able to follow up your email with most likely a call that would explain that email.
Exactly. But
guess what? Everybody's attention span is like that of a crab. Mm-hmm. And maybe they didn't even read your email. And then you're like, oh, wait a second. So maybe I should jump on a call with them. And then you jump on a call and you're blabbing.
Yeah. You really, like, it's, you know, I thank God for every opportunity I have. But when I really look at it, networking did everything, you know. Like it really did when it comes to, I think about how I got to where I am today. Praise be to God, obviously. But like it's finding the people that can give you the best advice, the people that have the power to do things, and making sure to present yourself in the best way you possibly can. And you don't do that when it's the when you're speaking to them for the very first time, and that is the first time you're ever presenting yourself, you know, and also having confidence. You know, there's a point you're going to get to in this life where you can have all the certifications you want. But if you are not confident that you can do the job, you're not going to be hired by anybody. Because no, you don't even believe yourself. Why in the world would somebody else believe in you?
Deep.
You know? So I would say that that's a huge thing. There's a lot of positions I have gotten in this life that maybe at the time I got them, I wasn't that qualified, but I believed I was. And I'm saying this not like I was a fraud. I'm saying this as people who could have maybe had the qualifications to possibly do it better than I did. But I trusted in my current skills and my ability to get to where I needed to get to. And that allows people to take chances on you. And then you have now the opportunity and the open door to show them that they were right.
Right, right. You know? And this is something I tell the people I mentor, because I say, think about it, put yourself in the shoes of a hiring manager. If you're talking to two candidates, they both have the same qualifications, they both went to the same school, literally the same school, the same class, everything. But then one is answering questions with hesitation. The other one is answering questions with some level of self-confidence, not too arrogant, but just portraying, even if the answers are not exactly what you want to hear. But the fact that one of them is self-confident, the other one is having some hesitation, who would you hire? And then they're like, oh, well, the person with the self-confidence. Exactly. The hiring manager is a human being. You are a human being. You want to put your best foot forward so that all you need is a foot in the door.
That's it.
And then that attitude then carries on into the job, because you were self-confident during the interview. You would be self-confident. You would know where to get answers, even if you don't have answers. All of those things make you improve at a faster rate than someone who is unsure, not confident. Even if they make the mistake of hiring the not confident person, that person would pretty much be stagnated.
Exactly. And
because, yeah.
That is like a great final point. Like, and I don't even want to leave without saying this last day. I know we're going over, but literally almost everybody that's ever like hired me, or anybody I've ever spoken to that has the opportunity to hire people, the same message I always get told, always and always, is we are hiring personalities, not necessarily qualifications. Like, I've heard a number of people say, we can make you qualified. We can give you, we can put you in the courses you need to go to.
Training.
We can train you in the way to do what you got to do. But the one thing that no one will ever be able to train you in is confidence. The ability to believe in yourself.
Okay. You can buy it on Amazon.
You know? Nobody can do that for you. So I'll say this last thing, which is, don't go to school and take these courses thinking that if I just do this, I'm going to get to where I need to get to. You need to continuously every day work on your people skills, work on your confidence, work on your self-efficacy with the work that you're doing, like, and continuously work, strive to become a more outgoing, kind, more respectful, like just trying to develop good, solid character that people can see from a mile away. That right there will guarantee you jobs. When I meet people like that, I'm like, think about it from a hiring manager's perspective. They see somebody, as you just said, they see somebody who has a charismatic personality. They are good people. You want to help them. You want them to be great. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, the world is your oyster when you have great character. I think I'll definitely leave it at that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for this. This is just so many insightful nuggets and deep wisdom, which is why, you know, I wanted you to come on this podcast for a while, but then of course timing and so many different things. But I'm glad we're finally able to do this. And then of course it looks like we're going to do maybe one or two more of this, because there's just too much wisdom to glean from you. So on that note, how can people get in touch with you? I'll put whatever social media, LinkedIn, in the show notes for people to reach out to you.
Well, thank you, Bibidemi, for having me on the podcast. Like, this is such a good time. Like, I was just telling Dara, like, I feel like I need to, like, talk and, like, just, like, see people, like, but nice. Had a great time. Where you can contact me, I always say would be, like, I keep my social media is pretty private nowadays, but my email is a big one. So Toby, T-O-B-I, and then Owotomo, my last name, O-W-O-T-O-M-O @gmail.com. I'm an email girl, so I'll most likely see it. So
right.
You can definitely contact me there.
Right. So thanks once again. It's been a pleasure talking to you. It's just so much wisdom, so much people listening know what I'm about to say, but then I'm not finding the words. So.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And my love to the family, and I hope you love it.
The Big Picture Podcast is produced by Sunshine Media in association with Alowunle Productions. Fact-checking by Zara Kuznetsova. Audio engineer, Sergey Gorski. Graphic design, Stacey Graham. Senior producer, Bidemi Ologunde. Executive producers, Olufolani Ologunde and Toby Loba Ologunde. Please join me again on the next episode as I continue with a deep dive on cybersecurity news, events, and incidents, and the lessons we can learn from them for robust cyber threat intelligence and awareness in our daily lives. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the Big Picture Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pandora, TuneIn Radio, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, please share the show with anyone that you think might benefit from it. For questions, comments, or any suggestions, please send an email to bdemi@thebigpicture.com. You can also get in touch on Twitter @BigPicture, on the Clubhouse app @Big, as well as on the Wisdom app @BDemi. Please remember to leave a review for the podcast if your platform allows you to do so. Thank you for your time. See you on the next episode. Bye for now.